Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today our way through chapter one of the book of Revelation. We're going to finish up that first chapter, and then next week we'll start off on the seven churches, beginning with the church in Ephesus. But where we left off yesterday was John, the writer of Revelation, who received the prophecy, who received the word from the Lord. The book of Revelation is a book of Christian prophecy, talking about what is about to happen in the immediate situation of the seven churches and what will ultimately happen in God's plan and purpose in the final defeat of evil and the bringing down ultimately of the kingdom of darkness and the full reign of Christ, who is at the end of the book of Revelation is so clearly revealed as bridegroom, king, and Lord. That's who he is. As I mentioned, the reasons I wanted to look at dimensions of the book of Revelation in the program during this season of Lent is it's so important for us to understand who the person of Jesus is, to answer the question, who do you say that I am? And the question that Jesus had posed to Peter, to St. Peter. And in this book, there's so much that's revealed about Jesus, his glory and his majesty, his identity, his personality, his power, that the more we can read it, remember now, Scripture, there's no book like Scripture. This is not just another good book about a religious subject. This is God's word. This is a living word that was written by the grace of the Holy Spirit. It's God-breathed. This word's alive, and it has a capacity to transform and to change us. The Holy Spirit wants to help us come to understand what's revealed in it. It's interesting. So it began this week. There's that beautiful line in verse 3 of this chapter where it says, John says, blessed is he who reads aloud the words of the prophecy. So you get a blessing reading this aloud. So I recommend read it aloud to your kids. Read it aloud to anybody, to spouses. If you sit down during your prayer time, take turns reading it aloud to each other. And it says, as well, he said, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written therein. There's a promise and a blessing to receive what's here. And this is God's saving word for us. It's so wonderful. So where we left off yesterday, John was beginning to speak about the vision of Jesus that he experienced, which is the foundational reality from which then he would speak to and communicate to the seven churches of Asia Minor that he was their pastor, their shepherd, and Jesus came to reveal to them, to him, their condition. And the words of challenge, the words of correction, the words of encouragement that Jesus wanted to give the churches and the guidance that he wanted to provide. And this is a model, really, you might say, for the whole church and the Lord's promise to be with his church for all time until he comes again. Jesus said, I'm with you always, and he's present in the church, as imperfect as the church is. And so if we're listening and hungering and thirsting and living as if he's here, loving him, talking with him, receiving his promises, following his leadership, if that's where our hearts are, if there's pastors who are listening, there's priests and bishops, brothers, as John experienced this, the Lord wants to visit you. John was celebrating the Lord's Day. He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And it was a moment or a time of prayer, whatever it was a time he knew he was in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. And the Holy Spirit revealed is the means by which Jesus is revealed to John. And it's so beautiful. And that's the same thing Jesus wants to do in his church. Exactly like this? Well, maybe not. Maybe. We don't want to put any limits on God. But what is so important for us to see, and I think it's timely for where we are today in the church, some of the very things that will be pointed out about the seven churches, the lukewarmness, the compromise, the immorality, the idolatry, the stuff that had seeped into, the desire to be conformed to the powers that be, all that stuff is present in some of these churches, and it is present in places in the church today. It's weakened us. It's confused us. False prophets. There's false prophets in the church. There's leaders in the church following foolish ideas and following the voices of false prophets. It's all present. And So in some ways, even though what we're experiencing in the church feels new, and it is because it's different at a certain level, it hasn't happened to these people at this time and place, it's the same spiritual battle and the same strategy of the devil to sow doubt, confusion, division, lies, lukewarmness, all the rest of it. He sows the same stuff over and over again. And for some reason, the church is in a position where many people, many baptized, are being seduced by it. And so shepherds are concerned. They're trying to figure out what to do. And I think there's a lesson here. And there's a whole bunch of lessons, of course, throughout the book. But at the beginning of the book, where does the Lord start? How does a pastor and a shepherd, how do leaders, how do dads and moms and families, how do we read the situation we're living in, our lives, those the domestic church we're trying to grow, the parish community, the diocesan community, how does it relate to what's going on in the world? All those things are important questions the Lord will help us discern, but what we need to do is first be rightly aligned with the Lord. There will be no wisdom and clarity and discernment without having a vivid, clear understanding of the total lordship and majesty and power of Jesus Christ, and his love and his mercy and his faithfulness to his promises. We ended yesterday a section here where John is talking about the vision that he received from Christ. I won't touch on all these again, other than just read through it. Verse 12, it said, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands," the churches. "And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man," he saw Jesus, the Messiah, "clothed with a long robe with a golden sash across his chest. His head, his hair were white as wool, white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze and refined as in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters." And here's where we left off yesterday. "And in his right hand, he held seven stars. From his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Okay, in his right hand, we saw that he stood among the churches. We heard that. Where's Jesus? He's right here with us. He'll never leave us. He promised he's here. The seven stars are in his right hand. You know, he'll later describe them as the angels of the seven churches, or what's often understood to be the bishops, the pastors of these churches. Held the seven stars, from his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword. A sharp two-edged sword. So think of Isaiah 11, chapter 11, verse 4. The Lord will strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth. Isaiah 49, 2. "I made the mouth of my servant a two-edged sword." It's a sign of the all-powerful word of God, the creative power from which all things come into be, and also the power of judgment. All judgment belongs to the Lord. "And his face was like the sun shining in full strength." Think about the transfiguration. For example, when Peter and John and others were able to, Peter, James, and John, was it? Three of them were able to see and get a glimpse of the glory and majesty that belonged to Jesus. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul says, "What we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord." He said, when we preach Jesus Christ is Lord, God, the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." That's the God of the Old Testament. That's the God of Genesis. That's the Father saying, "Let light shine into the darkness." He said, that God, when we proclaim Jesus as Lord, sheds light into our hearts so we can see the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus. John was getting a glimpse of the glory of heaven, the total glory of God, shining on a human face, on the face of Jesus. Here's the destiny and the ultimate victory of the human race. It's in a person. Who holds our destiny? It's Jesus, who's absolutely indestructible, undefeatable, unshakable. It's Jesus. There's no power even remotely close to him. Verse 17, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, 'Fear not, I'm the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Profound, really, really important truth and revelation. Lord, I pray as we read these words today that they wouldn't just be words, but by the grace and power of the Spirit, you would give to us a revelation of your glory and majesty, that we could see you and catch a glimpse of your might and power, as our brother John did. And friends, John, who is travailing and praying for and concerned about his people, what's the antidote that the Father and our Lord Jesus give to John? What does John need first and foremost? He needs reassurance, and that reassurance comes from the clarity of who Christ is. He receives a revelation of the lordship and majesty of Jesus, and he was overwhelmed by it. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. You know, it made me think in my own life a couple of times, all these years of following the Lord, a couple of times in the midst of prayer, once with three friends when I was in the seminary many years ago, there was a moment we were praying and had been praying for a couple of days and discussing some things that we felt the Lord wanted us to do. We were trying to discern what was going on, and it was our last prayer time together. And you know, sometimes it's not easy to pray together with other people exactly how to do it unless you're praying the rosary or something that, or the Lord's Prayer that's real obvious that everybody knows. We were mostly trying to just listen to the Lord, and that can be a little uncomfortable at times, but it's important to do. And in the midst of it, one of the brothers who's a priest today, and I was there with another friend who is a bishop today, and a fourth friend, and we were just kind of quietly turning to the Lord. It was my parents' cabin on a lake, and one of the guys, I just kind of heard this like thump, and I heard this noise, and he dropped down on his knees. I looked, and he started shouting. He said, "God, help us." He said, "We're just a bunch of dumb sheep down here bumping into each other." He said, "We don't know where we're going. We don't know what we're doing. We need your help." And then maybe the most sincere heart cry I've ever heard in prayer up to that point in my life, just without any kind of self-awareness, just complete selfless. He just cried out, "Oh God," he said, "Oh, come on, God." He gave a shout like that. And I was just surprised, but I have to tell you, all of us pressed in a little bit more deeply. It freed us up a little bit more, but within 20 minutes, I don't know how to say it other than the Spirit of God came into that room and the power of God was on us. And the guy who's now a bishop was laying flat on the ground and he was just weeping and weeping with the joy of the Lord, and the Spirit of God came on me and I was laying on the ground and the fear of the Lord filled my heart. And I honestly felt like I heard the voice of the Lord, not the audible voice of the Lord, but something that was in my spirit. And I sensed the Father saying, "No longer will the world mock the covenant blood of my Son." And I just had this sense of like the holy fear of God, and what a horrible, horrible thing it is to ignore the sacrifice of Jesus and to not receive his lordship and majesty and kingship, and that the Father's going to deal with, and the day of judgment is coming. And I just felt it in my bones, and I was laying on the ground and just shaking and weeping. And it wasn't something I was stirring up. It was a work of the Holy Spirit, and the message has never left. So friends, the Holy Spirit wants to help each and every one of us. I hope you can tune into the program next week. God bless you. Have a blessed weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.